for any academy or a company that does this, you sign up for their program, and then they tell you on LinkedIn to put their company as work experience. That's a red flag. If I want you guys to hear this, because y'all, I don't care if y'all clip it, I'm with all the smoke. If you're not working, if that company doesn't have business that you're working for, like a MSS would, when it comes to like doing like something security wise, they're playing you because you didn't get real experience. You're better off getting the skills on your own and really figuring out what type of projects you can do and showcase that skill set versus thinking somebody's going to think that's real experience.
82.
Nah, 82. Nah, I did 82 already. 82. Oh, my bad. Man, cooking out here. I've been out for a week, bro. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. What you been up to since we've been gone? Well, since you've been gone?
You know, had a little family situation I had to get to. But other than that, studying for this SANS, bro. The SEC 555 is the course. It's SEAM with tactical analytics is the course. It's pretty solid, man. It's pretty solid. I'm learning a bunch. It's deep, but it's a good course. If somebody's interested, if you're interested in detection engineering, I think it's a good course. I'm pairing the SANS course with the MITRE course on detection engineering. So it's a good stack. I'm learning a lot. Other than that, man, getting ready for B-Sides Charm. So anybody that's going to be in Baltimore for B-Sides Charm, I'll be there. Holler at your boy. I might film some content. I don't know, but I will be at B-Sides Charm. Definitely link with your boy if you're there. I would love to talk to you. Love to chop it up about security, and everybody's going to learn some stuff. So it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I've started.
What you got going on, bro?
I've started studying for the AWS security specialty. It was like a requirement at work. And some of them don't have a cloud practitioner, but since I got that like 3 years ago, I said, let me just dive into this security specialty. So I decided, as busy as I am, I'm going to try to study at least 30 minutes to 60 minutes a day. That's going to be the goal. Now, the next thing I need to do is book the test to make me keep studying. That's the next thing I need to do. If I don't do that, then I guarantee I'm going to put it off by the end of the year. And I want to
get it. You're going to be studying forever.
Right. I want to get it before July. That's keyword. I want to. I think we have environments where we can just set up our own stuff. It's just all we got to do is delete our instances. I believe we have that. So if we do, that makes it even easier because you can actually just, I mean, you can do it on your own for free, but it's funner when you're doing it on work stuff as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That good old paid sandbox is the truth.
Facts. But welcome, everybody, to episode 83 of the Texture Talk Podcast. I'm your host, HD, and we got none other than...
It's your boy, Edie. He's for Extra, a.k.a. the Sock Coach.
We got some funny topics today. We might not even get into the articles. It's been a wild week. If you're on Twitter or LinkedIn, so many different things has happened. We've seen, allegedly, a disgruntled employer posted a job description saying, hey, we only want white people for this role. Like, I don't believe it. When they came back out, I said, oh, somebody's disgruntled. I believe that's what was supposed to be internally, is that they posted what's internal that didn't, you know, that was supposed to for the public to see. That's how I personally feel. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about the fake PMP plug, lying on your resumes. It's a lot of stuff, man. So we may not even get into some technical stuff, even though we haven't the first of many issues with ChatGPT and privacy that's arose this past week, which is something we've talked about before. And I've told people plenty of times on public platforms, like, do not put internal employee information into ChatGPT. Like, don't do that.
Don't do it.
You don't know how they're storing that information and who can look at the things that you've stored. And pretty much that's a good way to social engineer you.
Nah, you don't want to do it. Hey, bring your camera into focus a little bit, bro. We have to cut this part out, but there you go. You're a little blurry.
Well, that's because it's focusing on the mic. So.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, so as long as I'm right here, it's good. But then if I back back, that's when it'll focus on the mic because it's doing camera terms. I got it at whatever, one point, whatever. So everything behind me is going to be more blurred so it could be fixated on the talking head. But I mean, we could leave that in there. It don't matter.
Hey, trying to get it clean. Trying to get it clean. But yeah, man, let's get into these topics, bro. You know which one I'm excited to talk about.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Ski. Let's do it.
Let me see. I'll pull it up because I can always cut this stuff out. So that's the good thing. I think it's right here.
Full disclaimer, man. Like, not that it's not really a spoiler alert, but listen, don't lie about certifications. I'm gonna just start there. Like, don't lie about certifications. And anybody who's watched enough episodes knows how I feel about certifications. If you haven't and you don't know, I don't think certifications should be the standard that we use to measure a person's qualifications to do things. I think we need to figure out a better way to do it. That said, don't lie about it. Like, if you don't have it, there are several hiring managers and even HR, applicant tracking systems, whatever you want to say, that you can still have a good shot at getting in front of that hiring manager, because that's really the main goal, getting in front of that hiring manager. So full disclaimer, before we even start, don't lie on your certifications. We're going to be funny. We're going to talk about this because it's wild, but just know. See, and I'm going to start it off with just making that point. Don't lie about having certifications. It's not a good look. So, all right, now we can get into it, bro, because you know I'm ready to talk.
One of these things I told you was going to talk about, and I don't care that their name is on the tweet because this is public information. They have a huge TikTok following, which we'll go check out one of the TikToks later. But check this out. They're saying they have a plug to get people PMPs. And this had tech Twitter, well, we'll say black tech Twitter. They were fusing at the seams, right? Now, if you follow this person, for the people that's watching, and the people that's listening, I would advise you actually to like stop right now and try to go watch this. But the person that makes this, their reasoning for doing all these things is like, oh, they doing it, or do you want to be hired, or you want to be broke forever, and yada, 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 right? The thing is that the people she's preying on don't know any better, don't understand that, number one, or they may know this is illegal. Number one, this is illegal, and two, this doesn't work. When a company goes through a background check, especially if they want you to have a PMP and they're the company that check your certifications, you're going to get fired.
They're going to run that number. They're going to run that candidate ID. And yeah, this is easy to check. Like, so PMI has what they call their online credential registry. This is super easy to check.
Hey, listen.
It's not even, I mean, I mean, I've seen people fake degrees. You know, those are also, you know, easy, but, you know, these are even less difficult than that. Like, this is just not, I mean, just off the rip, like anyone, not even you don't have to be a company, you don't have to be a corporation, you don't have to be anything. Anybody can just go check and see if you have a PMP. Like, it's public information. Once you're certified, you sign paperwork that says they can use your name. So yeah, that's the first step. That's the most glaring part about this.
The funny thing also about this is she also is a person that scammed people into paying for fake degrees that did not work. Number two, we start talking about this so much on Twitter, and I'm going to try to find it while I'm talking to you now, but PMP actually released a statement about this.
Yeah, I got to see that statement. So let me throw out a couple things too while you find that. So first of all, like I said, anybody can go check this on the online credential registry for PMI. That's number one. And I am not PMP certified. I do read a lot about project management just because, I mean, if you're an engineer, you have to eventually manage large scale projects, but not PMP certified. But you can go check this on the online credential registry. Second thing is, there are a lot of terms and terminology within the PMI body of knowledge, or the PMBOK, as some people call it, that you won't be familiar with if you haven't actually did any real studying. So, but I'm going to give benefit of doubt and say anybody who's trying to get the PMP has probably done some project management studying or has some experience. So the last thing and final thing that I found out as we were preparing for this, you could get sued for this. You could get sued for this. There is language within the PMI's, I wrote it down actually, within the PMI's anyway, within their like ethics, their code of ethics, that says that you can get sued for this. You can face disciplinary and legal actions. And so I went down a rabbit hole and I wanted to see like, okay, is this just their lawyers being lawyers? Actually, it's not. In 2013, a former government contractor from Virginia was basically, he had to pay restitution for all the money he made, which equaled up to about $500,000 in federal contracts due to these fake credentials. Now, this particular gentleman has some other stuff going on and he ended up serving 2 years in prison. At first I was like, 2 years in prison seems like a lot for, you know, a PNP certification, but I found out he has some other stuff going on with fraud and stuff like that. So one of the charges was, fraud and fraudulent claims of holding that certification. So he ended up having to pay back about $500,000 in federal contracts that he got. Again, in 2016, there was another case where a woman was sued for trademark infringement and false advertising, and she had to pay $25,000 in damages and is prohibited from having a PMP at any point in her life. So she can never become a PMP. She can never have a PMI, and she out of 25 racks. Yeah, I don't want to go to jail, and I don't want to give up 25 racks for a certification, bro. Like that ain't what's popping. So don't do this. Like, don't do this. Listen. And don't believe anybody who tells you they can cover you if you were to do this.
Yeah, I mean, live solid the thing. She has a wild timeline. But as you see, she's saying, I don't care what they do. Hold on. Do the plug. It in because one can check the registry for free to verify with the person last name. That's just one way. Not to mention you actually got a credential. That's with it. I mean, it's the same thing with any search you get with CompTIA or whoever else. You can look up if it's valid.
So you have a candidate ID.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't care what they do because that's none of my business. I just get people hired and the plug keeps them from getting fired, which is totally not true. Now, I actually invited this young lady on to kind of defend her points because, you know, I don't want to just be that guy. But I have something else that I need to listen to.
We don't believe you. You need more people. Like, yeah, man, this is, you know, hey, bro, so my thing is, have you ever, well, let me ask you, have you ever lied on your resume? Like straight up lie, not like bolster your credentials, but like straight up lie.
Never straight up lie. I've embellished in a sense, like I've talked about, like we talked about the last episode you was on, when I was saying I got all the certs. Well, not the certs. All those different softwares and applications that I use that work, I put on my skill section, like I actually knew how to use years later. But I've never just flat out lied about anything because when you look like us, it come back to haunt you. So that's why you don't want to lie.
Yeah. So back to that previous episode, part of the reason why I was so unprepared for that interview is because I lied about being able to do a lot of stuff. And so like, man, this stuff will come back and get you so fast. Like lying about being able to do something is one thing, but lying about a credential that's so easy for somebody to go check, they're going to go check that. And I mean, for a lot of them, you have to actually submit proof of your credential, and they like you have to have it. So I don't even know why in 2023, with all the technology we have, Credly, all of the different ways that this can be verified, I don't even know why somebody would suggest this as a viable solution to anything.
Tell me about it.
Because you're just gonna look dishonest. You're gonna look dumb and dishonest.
So here we go right here. They say PMI Institute now, y'all, says we know the PMP is a popular career advancing certification. That's why we make it easy to verify who actually has one. Learn more about our secure database. And so I'm just going to go back to how I found it, though. Shout out to Kim Lipstick and Tech. She's been on the platform before. The PMI Institute actually liked when she made this post because all of us just started sharing it. Like I have one. Do you y'all remember the fake doctor? You ever do that? That was acting like he was a real doctor.
Yeah, well, I had a little slick comment, but okay. To myself.
I don't know. Oh, this right here. Y'all with the fake PMP when the company says send a headshot for the directory, and then I was like,
really? Wow.
At this point, y'all got ghost certs and ghost resumes,
bro. Like, I mean,
and look. We need to cap this off. Let's go ahead and hit them with the last point right here, the last rule of the rule book. Let's share this tab. All right, y'all. So this is where, because I remember it was also on Twitter, but this is where she like blatantly tells you how to manipulate your resume. However, it's not a good manipulation. Now you pay attention that this person, the beginning title of the resume is information technology specialist. Yeah, I'm just gonna play it. It's a lot.
I hadn't seen this one.
It's a lot of red flags. I know. It's a blind reaction from you.
Is how you're gonna appear qualified for the positions that you're interested in applying to. Put the title of the job description at the top of your resume document. You want to give the
red flag number one. How you went from IT specialist to a junior web developer? That's red flag number one. I'm willing to bet this is a person who graduated but don't really know what they're doing. But that's red flag number one.
This ain't even your resume at this point. You just, all right, go ahead.
The reader of your resume, the impression that you are the ideal candidate. In a professional profile, you're going to restate the job title. This is a junior web developer resume that I'm building for a client. And I am changing the years of experience to say 4, because this is an entry level position.
Now, the person does not have 4 years of experience. If you tell somebody you have the years of experience that's on their resume, they're going to interview you accordingly. So it's red flag number two.
Bro, just take my like just take somebody else's resume at this point. Like what keep it going, bro. Keep it going.
They are a recent grad who is interested in a junior web developer resume. We're on Glassdoor, so that's the title of this description, as you can see. So that's why that's the title of the resume. Now, in the key highlights or the areas of expertise that is directly under the professional profile, I'm adding the key skill website design, because that's in the essential functions and job responsibilities. They're trying to hire somebody that has web design skills.
Now, you see right there, y'all, what if I don't have those skills? Be broke forever then. This is bad advice. You could possibly do this in a role that depends on soft skills, technical skills. You cannot do this. You're better off saying, hey, I don't know how to do nothing, but I really want to do the job versus lying, because it's going to make you look bad and you're going to feel stupid.
What happens when they give you a web development project?
She's probably going to say, oh, YouTube it and all this other stuff.
I guess you just use AI at this point, right?
Probably so. Now, we also know, like, for example, I've turned out interviews just to the fact I didn't want to do a coding part, because I was like, I don't code. Now, could I lie about it?
I'm not going to lie about it, though. Like,
could I lie and say, yeah, and maybe pass it? That's really hard. I have to look up and hope they have somebody that can help me do it. And then if I do it well, what if they want me to do that all the time at work? See how this goes into a slippery slope? Just be honest.
You're putting other keywords all throughout the job description, and you want to embed your resume with those skills. I also added development and testing that's highlighted. I'm going to add hardware and software because they want to hire somebody with those skills.
Yes, they want to hire somebody with those skills. Yes, that's exactly it. They want to hire somebody with those skills. You don't have them. Let me tell you something. What if you went to the doctor? Or you ain't even a doctor, man. Like, people get mad when they get incorrect change at the grocery store. Like, why do you think a company is going to keep you around when you straight up lie about your ability to do something? Come on now. Like, come on. And I don't know her. And I can only comment on this one thing that I'm looking at. But I'll say this. I'm not going to trust somebody who's instructing people to do things in an untrustworthy way. So it's hard for me to even believe that she's qualified, because her whole game plan of getting things done is to pretend that you're qualified. So I would have to believe that it, to some extent, she's taking her own advice, right? Because that's what we do, right? That's what we do.
Yeah, well, you already know the real people that's like that in the industry, especially that are in HR, have already sliced and diced a resume. She have like templates and they're not good. They're like so basic with the wording. It's a travesty, but people don't know any better. I had actually a woman that's a career coach who was talking about how she actually redid a resume that woman did for someone because it was horrible. Then we had the person they found a screenshot of saying, man, I spent $300 or how much money on the fake degree, you know, like a duck. But you know what? It's Monday. Y'all need to wake up. Man, look.
Man, listen. Don't be lying on these jobs, man.
But this makes me go into something else. It's also a bigger problem that's been going on the last 3 years. People saw what happened to their jobs and COVID and realized, hey, they want to do a job where they can work from home or make a lot of money and have a high skill set. The biggest issue, and I want you guys to hear this loud and well, stop being a fool. If it's too good to be true, most of the time it's not true. You have companies out here.
Gunshots on that.
Listen, you have companies out here giving you 10-week programs, promising you're going to get into a cybersecurity role and you're paying excess of $10,000. Like, be for real. Or you have a job that maybe a company that markets themselves as saying, like, you can go from, you know, no experience to six figures and have a long time. Like, that's a red flag. Like, I don't care what nobody tell you. It is hard to make six figures just starting off. You got to have either high transferable skills or hopefully know the right person that could just bring you in. They'll be willing to train you. That doesn't happen a lot of times, especially for technical roles. Hell, even non-technical roles, that's not just happening sometimes where people are just trying to walk in and trying to get some six figures out of nowhere based on roles like that. Now, the outliers sometimes are the roles, like I said, like a tech sales where you get commissions and plus a base to where that's a little different. And those rules require a little bit more on soft skills. So it's ways that you can scale up in that faster than someone that's trying to go do cloud, being a cloud engineer in like 3 months and say, oh, you finna go make six figures. Not necessarily. You might make 65 or 70. What's wrong with that? Why I got to be 100? Not only that, I'm going to tell you guys something else about this right here. For any academy or a company that does this, you sign up for their program, and then they tell you on LinkedIn to put their company as work experience. That's a red flag. If I want you guys to hear this, because I don't care if y'all clip it, I'm with all the smoke. If you're not working, if that company doesn't have business that you're working for, like a MSS would, when it comes to like doing like something security wise, they're playing you because you didn't get real experience. You're better off getting the skills on your own and really figuring out what type of projects you can do and showcase that skill set versus thinking somebody's going to think that's real experience.
Don't do it, man.
Like, try to listen. Everybody got to stop trying to shortcut.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can tell you now that you're starting to see sometimes what happens with shortcuts or companies not, you know, seeing things through. You're seeing all these mass layoffs. People don't know what they're doing. It's just a lot of BS stuff that's going on. And I don't want you guys to be caught up. Like, my audience, like, I you know, y'all see, you know, shout out to Course Careers. I partner with them. And I'm working on partnering with another company in the future. But that's because I reviewed their syllabus. And I like what they had going. And I like what they offer to the potential students. So if you are leery or something, I don't mind you ask me. Because people have asked me about stuff in the past. They've asked me about, like, different... they've asked me about different, like, course curriculum, syllabuses, and I've looked at them. Matter of fact, I got one I need to look at in my general messages that I just forgot about. But...
Yo. No, go ahead. My bad. I was about to cut you off.
No, you're good. I'm just saying, like, that's what you got to do. Like, please, guys, like, reach out to some veterans sometimes. Like, I have also, and this is why I started off with that. I went on this long soliloquy. Like, I have a client that I recently worked with.
Good word.
You know, I'm trying to get my Stephen A. I had a client.
You sound like T.I., but all right, go ahead.
Hey, say, Sean. The antithesis of my thesis statement is, but no, in all seriousness, I had a client who's in a similar situation that I work with, and he paid all this money for this program. I've let Eric see the program. We've looked at it, and we said, this is trash. That resume that they got, garbo, thousands of dollars. That kind of stuff makes me upset, because now it's so hard. Like, even for me, like, offering you guys actually a very fair deal just to help y'all, I don't like y'all spending a lot of money. I have people that reach out to me all the time about services, and I say, hey, well, go check out my free stuff, right? I don't just sell. Sometimes you're not an ideal client of mine right away anyways. So I don't prey on the fact that, hey, you don't know a muff, and I can say, oh, just come get with me and you'll get in cybersecurity. No. If you haven't did
that's
anything.
That's exactly what it is. It's preying on people. That's exactly what
definitely.
It is.
Definitely. I've had people to say, you know what, hey, if you don't have any experience, just do a consultation with me first. Because it's not much I can do if you have zero experience. Only thing I'm going to be telling you is, hey, go do this and this and this, and now I can do your resume. But at that 3 month time frame, it's probably not going to feel as much because you were not already actively working on something. So now I'm just giving you advice versus if you already have some experience or you already been working on something, and now you just need somebody to help you execute a game plan and the buffing up like your resume. Cool. I could do that. But I don't always, like, I don't want to take every client because I don't want to just take your money. I could.
So here's the thing, like, and I don't think we talk about this enough, bro. You can get fired. These people will fire you. Like, don't like, nobody is talking about this, but people have gotten fired for lack of performance. Like, these people will fire you. You are not guaranteed a job. So we put a lot of emphasis on getting these jobs and, you know, the resume and all that and blah, blah, blah. And all of that is important. All of that is really, really important. But performance is a real thing. And people will listen, when a company hires you, they are purchasing an asset. They are purchasing you are a resource that this company is investing in. And algorithms and math and formulas have been done to calculate how much return on that investment that company is going to get, right? So as a resource, just the same way we do with technology, right? When we buy, so say we decide we're going to get a new fleet of laptops for all of our developers, right? Math has been done to determine if that's going to be a good investment. The same type of math has been done when they invest in a new employee. If you pass that mark where you're supposed to be generating minimum return on investment and you're not, you become a bad investment. Businesses get rid of bad investments. These companies will fire you. That's the first part, like, that we're not talking about enough. Like, she out here talking about some, yeah, be broke. Well, you're going to be broke if you ain't got no job. You're going to be broke if you ain't got no job, and you're going to have to explain why you were only there 3 months, or you only there 2 months, or you were only in your last role for 2 months and it wasn't a contract. So that's number one. Number two, completely agree with what you said about shortcuts. Shortcuts rarely, and when it comes to shortcuts and what you need to learn to perform, they rarely work out. They rarely benefit anyone. You're not going to be a great member of the team. Not to mention, even from an economic standpoint, most companies do merit increases, right? So you're going to be mad because you're not getting the same amount of money for your quote unquote raise. Don't nobody owe you a raise. You're going to be mad because you're not getting the same amount of money for your merit increase because you're not performing. So that, like, I don't know what this whole shortcut culture is and why everybody's selling point is the amount of time that they can get you into tech. Like, I am more likely to go with a program that advertises a deep understanding than I am to go with a program that advertises quick transition, right? There's an old saying in tech where you can have it fast, you can have it cheap, or you can have it done well. You can't have all three. You can never have all three. You can never have fast, cheap, and done well.
Listen, I ain't going to go to an old saying. I'm just going to tell y'all, hey, rest in peace to the Godfather. He told y'all this all the time. You can't have it all.
You can't have it all.
You cannot have it all. And also, the thing about shortcuts is if you don't put in the work in the beginning, if you do peak too fast, you will not be able to handle it.
You won't be able to move.
You'll be stuck right there. We see this all the time in sports, movies, you name it. We see it all the time. We'll see a good basketball player looking very good because they dunking on everybody in year one, two, and three. And when they start slowing down, They didn't work on their game. They ain't got no jump shot. And then they at the league. They just been passed around like some of the girls who used to go to school with. But anyway.
You got to stop. You got to stop.
Hey, man, we have to keep them entertained, man.
But no, man, straight up, though, you make a good point. Like, you get to these companies, if you're not really putting in the investment to really, really learn, you're not going to be able to grow. I learned that from experience. There was a period when I was a network mm-hmm. engineer where, you know, I had got my Network Plus, I got my CCNA, I had done all that. And I got real content. I got real stagnant. And to be honest, I went maybe 2.5 years and didn't really learn anything new. Right. And then after a while, I decided I wanted to make architect money. And I couldn't get a job as an architect because I didn't have the next level of skills.
All right.
I had the skills to be a decent network engineer. I didn't have the skills to become an architect. I didn't have the skills to holistically look at the design of an infrastructure and figure out where the pain points were going to be and design solutions to address those pain points. So here's the thing. If you're new to this industry and you're just learning, which I think a lot of our audience are, take the time to actually learn the skills that you need to learn. I know you want to get in. I know you want to make the money. I know you want to start to build wealth and invest and do all these things for your financial future. But you are going to destroy your primary wealth builder, especially when you're young. Your primary wealth builder is earned income. You're going to destroy it. Or you're going to cap it at a point where you can't really grow past it if you don't really have any skills. We operate within capitalism, right? It's about goods and services. If you're not good at giving the service, you ain't gonna make no money. So, take the time, put the time in. And that's not even, I'm not even gonna tell somebody they can't do it in 6 weeks. I mean, if you can learn something in 6 weeks, then by all means, go for it, but make sure you actually know what you're doing to the level, you know, that meets the level of the role that you're trying to achieve.
Right. Yeah. And we typically want to focus on the majority and not the minority. There are people, I know there are exceptions to every rule, but they don't make the
edge cases. Yep.
So that's the reason why I always focus on what's true. Because listen, I still have people right now. I made a TikTok and you also saw it on my LinkedIn. It's that, I made the little post saying with the Security Plus with the white guy talking about some. You sure about that? You sure about that? and the text says is my clients. I got my Security Plus. The SOC. I'm ready to be a SOC analyst. The job description. You sure about that? You sure about that? So I want to ask you, like, are you sure about that? And he brought up a good point too when he was talking about he got complacent. I've talked to people many times about quitting jobs and they're, you know, oh man, you know, why would you quit making that much money? I was like, there you go right there. You can make more money than what I was making. But if I don't feel like I'm learning something, if I know I'm not learning what I need to know, I will not be able to, you know, exceed what I already have. And that's what people got to focus on. I made a distinction of saying, hey, you can possibly have a job that you're making $500,000, but you don't like, or you can find a job that's paying you $500,000 that you like that can help you make, you know, 1.5. All people focused on was the, you know, the $500,000, not realizing, hey, you probably can make more. It's like, it's crazy. But let's go into this one because I want to get this one in since we're already on a tirade of sharing stuff. Where are we? No, that's not it. There we go. All right, y'all. So we were talking about this post that went viral this past week about some company, I guess, in Dallas. I think they're owned by somebody. Somebody called them out, right? So this is a Salesforce business analyst and insurance claims, which that seemed like two different roles to me. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Now, supposedly this job pays $75 an hour. It's a contract role. So you probably can get more than that. So look, the note says, only born U.S. citizens, white, who are local within 60 miles from Dallas, Texas, don't share with candidates. Now, Arthur, what these people's name is? Arthur Grand Technologies says that this was a disgruntled employee. But like most of us that are Black feel, we feel like this happens pretty often. I tell people all the time when I meet with clients and I'm showing them different ways of how we can network to find who works at the company to try to get an interview. I tell them straight up and say, hey, I also look, if I find people on the team, I look at who on the team. I said, because sometimes they let me know if they're going to possibly call me back. Now, the people who can't empathize with this will say we're just playing a race car, but you just, until you're on the other side, you don't understand how it feels to always be the minority mm-hmm. everywhere you go. Until you understand that, then you'll start not seeing it. Because they'll say, oh, well, you were able to do it. I say, yeah, but am I exception to the rule? Like I said, everybody, like we're still not even in double digits for like Black people. I think probably being an IT, let alone being in cybersecurity.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what are we really talking about right here?
Yeah, I mean, I think this was just a slip up that they got through, that they didn't want to get through. And here it's one of those things, man, where people try to make like Black folks when we're applying for these jobs and we're going after these roles, people try to make us think we're crazy. People try to make us think we're crazy, and they try to think we're in this post-racial society. And to be honest, there's a lot of shit going on that can almost take your eye off the ball a little bit when it comes to these things. But the truth is, stuff like this still happens, whether it's in a LinkedIn post or Indeed post that somebody let slip through, or if it's happening behind closed doors and the conversations that people are having. People are doing, they do it to black people. They do it to black women specifically. You know, single moms, like there's a specific group which tends to be cisgendered, heterosexual white men of a certain age and a certain social class. See,
man, this dude is doing all his HR training because
that tend to hold a vast amount of power within these spaces. Appreciate the scary music within these spaces. And so anybody who's not a part of these groups tends to get alienated in these ways. And I think what happened was somebody thought they were making a note to the recruiter, and it just so happened to the recruiter copy and paste it. And yeah, it slipped out. I don't think it was a disgruntled ex-employee. He probably an ex-employee now because they got to save face. But I don't think that's how it started.
Most definitely. I mean, we always hear this type of stuff when it comes to anything in the world. Something happens. We go back to SolarWinds. Oh, it was an intern. Sure. Blame it on a scapegoat. Oh, it's a disgruntled employee. No, we know. Shout out to my guy, Mitch Brooks. We just did an episode. He's a venture capitalist. And we were talking about a little bit about when it comes to Black people and women and people of color, you know, getting funding for their businesses. And we were talking about, he was saying now most of the powers that be, they tend to fund people that look like them because they imagine or envision like their children or, you know, nieces and nephews, whatever, extended family, they envision that. So honestly, that could be a way. Like a lot of people against nepotism, to be honest, I'm not really against nepotism.
I mess with nepotism.
And I've always told people a lot of times the only big difference about the C-level execs and all these different companies is they just got to the market first. That's what I think. I think as time goes on and either new companies are built or more of us, because that's what happens. Like, here's how networks work. Most individual contributors are friends with individual contributors, managers are friends with managers, directors, C-levels, board of executives, whatever. All these guys are pretty much sometimes, if they're in adjacent industries or they companies work together, they're friends. So you see this all the time where somebody goes to one company and then this person just comes over very easily because somebody knew them or worked with them before and they bring them over. That's kind of what happens all the time. The thing is,
I mean, we see that situation right now with us happening. Like, we had a friend who became a senior engineer at a company, and her team was like, I need this person. She hit me up and was like, yo, my mans. Like, that's how it happens. And as we grow together in our careers, we're going to continue to make those phone calls, right?
Yeah. I just told somebody how I always do the same thing. Every time I go somewhere new, I try to bring somebody I used to work with me. So it's the same thing. So we can't, I'm not really, we can be mad at it when it's like unfair, but I mean, it's just kind of one of the ways how the cookie crumbles. It's just up to us to like create our own.
I think that's different though. Like going within your network, like, so, all right. So say for example, I got hired somewhere and I knew, you know, they needed a strong lead and a strong, somebody who could manage a SOC team, right? Somebody who could manage a SOC team, somebody who could manage threat intel, somebody who could manage incident response, right? Mm-hmm. I'm gonna hit you up, right? That's different than me being a hiring manager and saying, I only want to hire Black men of a certain age.
Now you are right. Now, okay. So this, I think is also is nuanced. That's why I like that we're getting into it, right?
Also, if you're interested in Course Careers, please use my link that's in the description. Use my coupon code, get $50 off. Especially if you want to do IT, use Josh Matacore's course and get your IT job quickly. Or if you want to do tech sales, like I said, you can get six figures pretty quickly.
This could be a couple of things, right? You could already know who you want to hire, but you don't have to publicize it. That's one. I think that happens a lot of times too. Just don't put it down. I know who I want
to hire. It's still shitty. You're just not shitty.
Yeah, it is. But no. Let's do this. I think the issue becomes when the people who get hired are not qualified. So in my instances, mm-hmm. I was gonna, off the assumption, my statement was, what my context would be is that these people that come with them from company to company are qualified.
Great point. That's what I was saying. I would hit you up. If you couldn't do the job, I wouldn't hit you up.
Right. Because I do the same thing. If I know you can't do it, I'm not tying my name to you. Because at my last, one of my other companies, all I did was refer good individuals. I work good. They work good. If I've never worked with you before, or if I know you personally and I know you like to BS, I'm not putting my name on you. You got to get in your own.
Or if you just know they can't do it. But like, you ain't finna hit me about no developer job.
Man, you good at developing.
I'm good at developing excuses, my boy. You're not finna hit me about no developer job.
Man, but seriously, I think these are how the talks come, you know, from behind. I think when I was interviewing for the Yahoo joint, I lost out on that manager joint by like this much. But that was because the person they picked was just a little bit more qualified than me because they actually managed the team before. So sometimes, at least you get feedback. So that's the issue too. People don't get feedback. Sometimes they feel like they got interviewed bad, or sometimes the interviewer is, you know, an asshole. Sometimes you have that happens on your team. It's a whole bunch of different things that goes on when it comes to interviewing for jobs. That's why I do feel for people mm-hmm. when it comes to this. And so you will have companies that try to act like they're for DEI. I think sometimes they're just saying it because, like I said, when you look to the top, you don't see diversity, equity, or inclusion.
You don't. And you can always tell. Mm-hmm. I always look at like when companies talk about DEI, are they switching up the rhetoric for, you know, the flavor of the month, right? Like, is your DEI pitch different when there's a lot of, you know, crazy legislation or there's major social action for women, and then it changes for the LGBTQ community, and then it changes for Black people? Like, is your DEI always switching to what seems like the flavor of the month, right? I don't know. And this is one of these things we talked about a few episodes back. Like, you gotta ask these questions that like, people underutilize that initial HR interview, right? Ask about the last time a company had layoffs. Ask about like what their actual numbers are. And then what they're going to tell you is, oh, I'll have those numbers in front of me. Okay, well, get them for me and email them to me. Like,
Funny that you said
that. You got to ask that stuff.
That's one of the things I asked Mitch about, and he actually explained it when I said, hey, if there is a person that's trying to work at a company and they're looking at some company that says, oh, they have, you know, $300 million in Series A funding, like, what should they be looking for? So I asked that specifically for you and other people. Once that comes out, you definitely get to hear that part about ask about that. Because everybody doesn't know. They just see, oh, it's a new company, and then go work somewhere. And then 6 months later, hey, they got the reorg or lay us off because they ran out of money.
Bro, we need to run that. We need to run an episode on like, I might do a short for the channel. On like my top 10 interview questions for different stages of the interview. So when I'm in an interview and somebody's like, do you have any questions for us?
He's about to actually get on social media, y'all. So We're gonna force him.
Hey, for the channel debut, your boy is on IG now. I don't know how well it's gonna go.
He don't even have to be on it. We're gonna just get somebody to be on his channel. We're gonna be on his channel. Yeah, we got to. Speaking of that, though,
HD forced me to get on IG. I was not gonna do it. I'm gonna be honest with you. It's probably gonna last like 6 months, and then I'm gone again.
He's not. He has to be noticeable. Like, people have to be able to reach out to him. I can't have a co-host that people can't go follow and talk to. You might find a brand might want to reach out to you about glasses, but they can't find your social media.
Hey, the frame's gonna be on point at all times, but hey, if it depends on IG, I don't, bro. I don't. Trying to think of something.
He's making up an easy lie. Oh man. All right, so here we go. So one of the first cases, I haven't read this article, by the way. I have not read this article, by the way. I just kind of summed it up from what I saw on Twitter. It says Samsung worker makes a major error using ChatGPT. Let's see. Oh, Samsung meeting notes and new source code are now in the wild after being leaked in ChatGPT. Now, we can actually just pause it right here and kind of think about what happened. I'm going to say something simple as, hey, help me with this code, and put the actual code in ChatGPT.
And sanitize it first.
Right. And let's see if they're actually working on, you know, on a network or what. So Samsung workers have unwittingly leaked top secret data whilst using ChatGPT to help them with tasks. The company allowed engineers at its semiconductor arm to use the AI writer to help fix problems. Listen, we didn't have to even read it to know it, but how stupid of a company do you have to let people do that with your internal information? And this is my other gripe. Y'all want people to have 10 years of experience when most of the stuff is just common sense.
But yeah, I digress. Yeah, this was a bad call, man.
But in doing so, the workers inputted confidential data such as the source code itself for a new program, internal meeting notes, data relating to their hardware. The upshot is that in just under a month, there were 3 recorded incidences of employees leaking system information via ChatGPT. Since ChatGPT retains user input data to further train itself, these trade secrets from Samsung are now effectively in the hands of OpenAI, the company behind the AI service. And if you don't think it's people that work at OpenAI that all type of malicious actors have gotten a hold to and trying to give people money behind the scenes, say, hey, what can you, you got information like people work for certain companies can get us this information. Please believe some type of way is happening.
Oh yeah. They trying to buy them because out. And not only that, OpenAI is one of the biggest targets right now.
Yes. And this is why I think like Google with, I think it's going to be called Bard. I'm on the waiting list to use Bard.
Yeah, it's Bard.
Bard is not worried about this because they knew these fools scale too fast and they weren't ready. Google has already been using algorithms and some sort of AI machine learning in just Google's search engine. Yep. Like most of the times before you even type finish like 2 words, Google kind of knows what you may be asking. So Bard is also able to, I think Dayspring was using it. Bard knows how to talk in slang. So Google is not worried about Bard. They will not make this mistake. And people will also, companies will not make the same mistake as well. Like, if I'm not mistaken, I seen Europe is not letting people use ChatGPT or something, you know, because they're strict on their privacy laws. Like, why we have to be the wild, wild west?
I think you could use it, but sanitize your shit, bro. No, like, think about it. When you post it in forums, when you post it in user groups, when you post it in Discords, when you're doing all of that, we sanitize our code, right? If I'm using a variable or whatever, any type of data that's proprietary, I'm gonna wipe that out. Because you can use variables and replace them with anything you want, right? Mm-hmm. You can use variables and replace them with anything you want. Like if you're building out some function or whatever, just replace the variable as long as the actual programming or programmatic part of your code returns what you need it to return, right? So you say, hey, here's variable A. And then you say, what do, you know, do whatever the code needs to do, the actual heavy lifting of the code. And then you just return variable A. And it replaced variable A with whatever you want. Again, no, you're not a programmer, not a developer.
Right, right. No, you're right.
That's just basics.
No, you're right. But like I said, it takes what? Common sense. And we all know common sense not too common.
Not too common.
All right, let's see. In response, Samsung Semiconductor is now developing its own in-house AI for internal use by employees, but they can only use prompts that are limited to 10, 24 bytes in size. I'm trying to see what they said the stuff went out in the wild, or was it just a salacious headline to say?
I think it's just in OpenAI has it. But if OpenAI has it, you can ask them for it.
You know what? That's what it does to compile stuff. So, that would be fun.
It's a language model. It's a learning model, saying. Right?
If we know what you is can get that Samsung code. Meeting, hey, can you give me Samsung meeting code to see what happens? That'd be crazy. That's what I'm saying. Remember a while back we were talking about like all these different use cases with ChatGPT, like saying, hey, can you give me some of my old MySpace pictures and stuff like that? I tried it. It didn't work because it couldn't find it. But
right now their data set they're using stops at like September of 2021.
I mean, but think about that. I was on MySpace from like 2006 to 2010.
Yeah, that's true. It's going to be interesting to see how this works, but I mean, this is just the kind of mistake. Like this same person is the person who leaks private keys on GitHub. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like this. Unfortunately, we've seen this same type of thing. I don't think that this is something exclusive to ChatGPT. I think ChatGPT gives us another vulnerability for people to make mistakes. But like, how many breaches have we read about where information was leaked on GitHub and source code or Bitbucket, right?
So no, you're right.
People have been making these kind of mistakes. And it goes back to something we talk about all the time, learning the fundamentals, like learning and sticking to basic security hygiene. You sanitize any data that's not public. We use pseudo randomization for figures that we don't want to publish. We use all types of anonymizing practices. We can randomly generate numbers. We can randomly generate strings. Like there is no reason to put actual data out there. If you need to learn how to structure meeting notes, make up fake names, make up fake talking points. All you need is the language. If we talk about fruit, you can switch apples and oranges, my dude. Like you can change the stuff that's in there. But these are basic security hygiene principles that to our point earlier, if you take that fast forward program, this is the stuff you're going to miss.
Yeah, that's
it's the kind of stuff you're going to miss.
Yeah, man. Think about it. We talked about all the time. Hey, you know, you in the SOC and you see a hash for a typical service that's always firing, right? You don't know how to dig down and say, hey, that service isn't the issue. It's something else. You put the hash in the block list for a main service. Now the help desk then blew up because everything getting blocked and it's not supposed to.
You done blocked Outlook.
Yeah. You didn't block Chrome from opening. man, it's crazy. But so since 2020, people have been overemployed and there's still people doing the stupid stuff on TikTok about showing how many jobs they got.
I was gonna say like talking about it because you could just shut up about it.
Yeah, don't nothing show that you just got a tech job or just got in tech by posting about how many jobs you got. And I'm not gonna lie, I'm just gonna show you when we review this. So y'all see, it says when you master your interview skills and successfully landed not one.
When you mastered your interview skills and successfully landed not one, not two.
But look. I've already watched this before, so hang on. That's not the one I need to pause on.
Not three.
Thank you. I can't zoom in on that one. Guys, these are not high-level roles, so they're not anything to really just be bragging about. They hire anybody for these. These are like, not even like IT help desk. These are like call center service agents type of roles.
But four, work from home jobs. Time to get to the money. And no, I am not overworking myself. all of this was done on purpose. So stay tuned for the link to my interview coaching sessions uploading at midnight.
See, people.
Oh, now it. He got a session to sell. Get out of here, man.
It's a woman. It's a woman. That's her boyfriend. It's a woman.
Oh, man. Like, just keep it to yourself.
Keep
man.
It to yourself. But like I said, those are very entry level jobs. Number one, I bet they require you talking on the phone a lot. So they're not going to swing it like they want to. If you're going to be overemployed, you need to have a high skill set where your job doesn't require a lot of meetings and you just have to fix problems and you still get paid for 8 hours a day. If it requires you to constantly be on a phone or talking and you have to take calls here and there and all that stuff, it's not going to work out for you in the long run.
I guess my thing is, and me and you talk about this all the time, because you and I have talked about like our feelings about the whole thing. I won't get into the details because we ain't got to put our business out there. But I think your energy would be better spent trying to generate passive income from from the same skill set, right? Like you can generate passive income. You can interview for one job and then generate passive income through other means. Like that's my first approach.
Well, just I'm gonna push back on that.
You don't have to do that much.
I think it takes certain type of jobs. I think it takes certain type of jobs to get the skill set to even be able to invest in the passive income. I think that's possible. Like we talked about this. Hey, my goal is to, hey, let's make the most money now and then start investing into ways to make more passive income to reduce how much I got to work now in the future, and I can keep on scaling to where I should be good with all these different revenue streams. But in the beginning, when I was doing help desk, I didn't have enough money to make no passive income. That's what I view her role is. So I view her maybe at 3-4 roles. That's probably going to pay her, I guess, a good amount of money. I don't know what it looks like tax-wise, and hopefully she has a business so she can offset some of the costs. But I just don't think it's going to last a long time because of the type of roles they are. Like, think about it. There are people, and you weren't on the timeline for this, but timeline went in the frenzy when a friend of the show was talking about how she knows a guy who pulled in a meal last year working. He has, I think 3 jobs or whatever. And the difference is he has a high level skill set, and I think he has 15 plus years in tech, and he works at bigger companies to where he can do different things. But like I said,
at that point, just start consulting.
Technically, when they explained to me, when I asked him on the back end, how his stuff is set up, technically that's what he kind of does. It's like consulting in a sense because of the flexibility they have. Because I was telling people, yeah, it's doable. Because I've showed you the screenshot from Credit Karma. That's how the base was going to be 300 something. So Essentially, if that was a low maintenance role, you just fixing stuff, you could do 2, maybe 3. But
yeah, I mean,
those aren't meant to be done long term. Those are being said, okay, hey, I got to go. I want to save, $200,000 to pay off my student loans, or I want to do this, I want to do that. Like they're meant to make your life easier by saying, hey, now that I don't have all this debt, I don't need to work as hard. I can focus on learning a different skill set that can slowly and surely bring me, revenue. Yeah. And that's also the thing too. A lot of people don't have, we talk about this, the patience. Like I'm going to talk about the YouTube game right now. Very quickly, even podcasting. Everybody knows, and this comes from, you find this listen to the biggest of big podcasts. It's, in the beginning, it's not no money in this. Even now, me and E talk about a lot of times, I told E, I said, well, it's a lot of me to ask of you to come on here and record when it's not a lot of money in it for you and you're taking time out of your day to do this. I told him that. He could tell you I told him that. So it's a lot of people don't want to start there. They want to come, when the money train there. And a lot of people don't have the patience to put that work in. Even same thing with YouTube. People go get a camera, get a mic, and they just start talking. And you're looking at their views and their subs not working. Also,
they directly directed at me. I don't respect it.
Listen, I'm watching y'all who had platforms on YouTube already with a lot of followers, and then hit your older videos to make it seem like your platform really popping when you start talking about tech. I'm watching you. I'm watching you. I see everything.
Show the growth, big dog. Show the growth.
This channel was a separate channel that was not a part of my boxing channel. I could have did that, and even that wasn't even a lot of. That was just a lot of videos, but it wasn't as many views. I think I might have had one video or two videos that hit over thousands of views on that channel. But I'm watching it. I am, because you know y'all got people thinking that's easy. It's not easy to get on here. We know a guy who goes live all the time, and people don't really watch their channel.
So check this out. But you remember what's the appeal of having multiple jobs? I mean, and this could be me mm-hmm. kind of being old school, but like I don't understand. And this is coming from somebody who absolutely loves, like, I love my work.
Well, let's ask you something. So are you saying you only work one job? You don't have any other forms of money?
No, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, okay, let me say this. Yes, I only have one job. I only have one employer. Now, I have multiple revenue streams.
There you go.
I have multiple revenue streams. I'm not talking about the passive stuff at this point. I have multiple revenue streams. I only have one employer. I only have one job.
Are you a contractor in any other role?
I mean, I have contracts to do things, right?
And I'm only pushing back on you like that because other people will feel like that's working, right?
Okay, I can see that. I can see that. But at the end of the day, I'm not gonna get any legal trouble, right? For doing what I do. It's not something that would even be frowned upon, right?
I don't
like it's literally me working and then me providing my expertise from my work for the benefit of an organization who publishes that work for best practices and other people in the industry.
Right. Well, here's the thing. I don't think it's frowned upon. I think it's only frowned upon when it impedes on the other job. So that's why I said, if you get one that feels like, because there's some people that have jobs where it's a 40-hour work week, but they maybe work 10 hours out of their week. So at that point, you could get another job to where, hey, now it's like you're actually working 40 or you're only working 20 hours that week because of your skill set is so high, you don't have to be online all day.
That's true.
The appeal of multiple jobs is you had to look at it like this, and this has come from a person that did it briefly, is if once you hit that certain mark, like, me and Keepy Tiki was talking about this. When I was working on multiple jobs, I think I was netting like, I think I might have been netting what, 12K a month, I think. I think I was netting that. You know what I'm saying? So if you put that in the perspective of a person that either is one person working or they have certain goals in mind, like that goal, that helped me. Hey, I was able to pay off some debt. I was able to put money away to move the fam to, you know, better positions. And I'll say even right now, if you can make over 200, whether it's gross or net, you pretty much in certain places are pretty okay as far as like you can pay your mortgage, you could go take a trip, you can do these things. So I think the freedom of them being able to buy what they need to buy and not suffer, because we know inflation is still going hard and a lot of people are in jobs
100%.
That their wages have not went up. So it's a way for them to, hey, you know, let me, like I said, some people don't do it the right way. Some people say, I'm not even working that much and I can do all these things and I can make this money, put it away and set myself up. So if I do take a fall, here's the thing too, it can be so unpredictable. Let's say you get laid off from one job, you got another one to back you up.
Yeah, but I think you could do that with revenue. You can create additional revenue streams that don't require you to go get a second job.
But how many people can actually do that? Or how many? Let me ask this better question. How many people want to do that? Like a lot of people. That's what I'm saying. Like
I think it's less work than going to get a second job.
I mean, in the long run, but in the beginning, it's not.
I don't know, bro. Like, because for me, it's more work having a second job.
But that's the thing, though. You're fixating on like them having to do a lot of work. But like I'm trying to tell you, what if the second job is barely work for them? Like at one point, I was like doing barely nothing on both. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, yeah. If you can cook like that, so, but
right. That's what I was telling people. I said
I really want you to go to sleep, bro.
But like, no. But here's the thing, though. that so that when I was doing it, they was like an hour apart for the shifts. So it wasn't like I was missing sleep or nothing. It was like a normal day.
That's true. I guess so I mean you're right. I guess you could swing it. I mean, I guess I could see because when you put it that way, and it is so I guess technically I do have multiple jobs.
Because somebody can ask me.
And me and you talk about this all the time. I rather put my energy towards getting paid multiple times to do the same thing than to try to find like different. And I guess we get into semantics when we start talking about what is a job, right?
Right. And then once I say this, and then we'll move on to like these listener questions and we'll wrap up. But for example, someone can say, "Oh, what are you talking about? Don't you have multiple jobs?" So I do this content, the career coaching. I also, if you want to even go on the umbrella of creating content, I'm like the editor a lot of times, even though shout out to my guy, Noor, I let him edit some stuff of mine sometimes. I'm also the marketing man, the manager. So these are all different roles that I'm actively learning stuff how to do. I'm a web developer sometimes. Well, not web developer, but like doing my website.
Get partnerships and contracts.
Right. I've set up the stuff for like the podcast on the back end. So I do all these many different hats as well that don't right now just pay off right now. They are things I have to just go through the motions of learning now. And then eventually, hey, it'll pay off maybe in, 5 years, right? So people can say, hey, you got multiple jobs right now. And they take a lot of my time. Like, you're busy. I'm busy a lot of times. I'm working on something. Me and E rarely play the game with each other. Like,
man,
the last time we played the game was months ago when we all played.
Yeah, I was like, bro, that was like definitely last year, like last fall.
Right. Speaking of, guys, like, we're probably going to try to do that once a month or once. I don't know. We're going to probably try to like at least stream Gears or something for y'all like through here and on Twitch. So be on the lookout for that. But yeah, that's what I'll say. I think it's really hard to say like, the people that say if I can do it and it's not, taken away from my work-life balance or the fam, or if it's a short-term sacrifice for a long-time reward, do it. But just do it and don't get caught. That's what I was
saying. I guess my last point, closing thought on that is just like, whatever happened in the hustling and the silence, like, because you're right. Like, I guess if you look at it to your point, like, I'm a detection engineer. I'm a researcher. I'm a content creator. All of which some people would consider jobs, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I ain't got to make a TikTok about it.
Yeah, but see, we don't want, okay, I'm putting an example of this, right? We were talking about this the other day, right? About not being flashy. I want the money over me being flashy because I'm not trying to attract everybody to me. I want certain people, like, my flex is different. I might, once I get up there, money, my flex might be we at an art exhibit and I buy a special painting. That might be my flex and go drive for my Honda. that might be the flex. My flex may not be. Now, I'm going to get a Rolly. I have said I'm going to get a Rolly, but I may not even put it on social media. It might just be something I have out. I'm going to post it, but I will put it like this, y'all. I was thinking about this all day. The day y'all see me using my vanity things that I gain in life to entice you to get into cybersecurity is possibly the day that I've changed and I went mainstream.
He sold out, and I'm gonna be at his head for y'all. I got all the smoke for him if he sell out.
They just mad because I rapped in and went pop. But that's what I'm gonna tell y'all. Like for me. I don't want anybody to know. Like I have like friends that know me like behind the scenes and they're like, man, people don't even know. Like you got it, but you just act like you don't. Yeah, because I don't want y'all to know. Shoot, I come from a city where keep your head on the swivel. Like a lot of these people must have been grow up adjacent or grow up in places where, hey, like you ain't got to announce everything. My dad always say, you got to let everybody know everything you got. Like you don't. I go get new cars, and it's not no flex thing. Like they're like these, supercars, but I'll go get a new vehicle. I ain't tell my mom. They seen it when I pulled up in it. It's like, nobody got to know. People still think I got my car from 2015. Three cars since then.
You know what? I think the general gist of it, and this sounds kind of almost contradictory because we're on a podcast talking about tech and we do tech. I think I'm over the whole like careers and like, I don't know, jobs being a brand. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't know. Cause I mean, technically, I think I know what you're getting at. Like, far as like your maybe like your persona online, but I think it just depends in different places. Like, I'm more of my brand or what I do on LinkedIn versus Twitter and IG. Like, Twitter, I get to be still seamless to me, but not how I used to be back in the day. I need a burner. But
get you a burner, bro. I got several.
You got one?
Who know, no.
See, we need to share the burner, bro.
You know about my burner, bro. Oh, no, you know about the IG burner.
Yeah, I need to get them tweets off.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna make one that's called Franklin Saint or something like that and see.
Call my shit sweet potato.
All right, y'all. So
sweet potatoes today.
Are you good? All right, y'all. So every week on Twitter, I post my NGL link. I think it's definitely not gonna lie. I don't know. But I post this link and I tell people, hey, ask me things to answer on a podcast. So I have a couple of questions, like 5 questions here. I'm gonna see which ones we want to answer. So the first one was saying, I've seen some people challenge you on the bad takes you give. How do you deal with that? I agree with them too, by the way. And my response to that on Twitter was this sound right here. As soon as it pop up.
They directly directed at me. I don't respect it.
I was like, if you're not going to tell me exactly what take you're talking about, I don't really care about it. So I was like, my takes be fire. Now, I'm willing to stand all 10 and die on the hill on a take I have because most of the time it's not a take that just came out of thin air. Like, I remember, well, it might have been like last year I said something. Hey, you know what? They was probably right to gatekeep some of this tech stuff from everybody. Like, some of this stuff needs to be gatekept because now you just got people in here messing things up. We're seeing people trying to get people fake PMPs. And this is the thing. When it comes to us, they already pretty much interview us probably harder than other people. So it makes it harder for us to get in if we're trying to listen to a person that don't even work in the jobs that y'all trying to do and y'all listen to them. Like, stop it. But that's kind of what I got to say on that piece.
So my real quick on that is I take L sometimes. I take L sometimes. Like, people comment on that. It's like, how do I react to it? I take L, bro. Like, I'm 33, bro. I take L sometimes. It happens. It happens. And if it happens on the internet, I care even less. Like, I take L's in real life.
Styles right now, man.
Bro, I care even less if it happens on the internet. Like, people challenge me. Yes, sometimes they're right. Sometimes I'm absolutely dead wrong. And, you know, if I'm wrong, then I'll be like, hey, you know, I was wrong about that. If they think I'm wrong and they're just challenging me and I still think I'm right, then I just say I'm right. Like,
All right. So I got another one and I think this one is going to be better. I briefly answered it on Twitter, but I want to tell everybody else because they probably had these same questions. Someone asked, any advice for someone who works in IT and wants to go into cybersecurity? I'm 24 and want to make some money. What would the time frame look like? And I told them, this was a short answer I gave, and we can expound on this. I said, there is no time frame. Just come up with a game plan to execute it. Because like you said, shout out to my guy, Carlos. Carlos got with me in whatever way, within the next week, he got a cybersecurity job. I had people that it took them like 6 months to a year. So there's no time frame. Sometimes it's just hard work and luck and dedication. There's a lot of stuff that goes into it, but you still got to put the work in. That's the thing. Agreed. It's like, really put the work in. And I know so my brand part is saying like cybersecurity, but I mean, it's so vague, but what you need to really figure out is, okay, what do you want to do in cybersecurity? And if you don't know how to figure that out, check out the video on this channel that shows how to get into cybersecurity in 2023 with no experience. I made that video for people like you, so you can check it out, learn what skills you have, and you can get into cybersecurity that way. And added bonus is a thread that I did this past week of telling people, hey, instead of looking at job titles, look for the skills that you already have and see if they are in cybersecurity roles and find roles like that. You might already qualify for them and don't even know it.
Because it might not be in cybersecurity. You might have skills that are much more useful somewhere else, you know, in tech, and they, you know, it might be best to go with that. Cybersecurity ain't the only area of tech that you can go into. Also,
it's not, but it is the best though.
It's goated. It's definitely goated. But yeah, I agree with you, bro. Like, I don't know if I could ever give anybody a timeline.
So this next one, someone asked me, do I make more money working in tech or consulting? I mean, tech. The other job is like at this a glorified part time that I can make my own prices, right? And I didn't do it to make a whole bunch of money in it. If I promise you guys, if I wanted to, y'all would know. I would just use the same rhetoric that everyone else uses to become a tech millionaire. It's simple. And yeah, those are shots fired.
Now, No comment from me on that one.
This last one says, where to start in cloud computing with no IT background? Okay, so this is a good one. It will also piggyback off of the question before the last. You would have to figure out what you want to do in cloud. Like this is so perfect use case or example you want to use is I have a friend of mine that's been working in insurance the last couple of years and he wants to pivot into the cloud. Right. But one of the things that people, you know, want to do when it's pivoting is like they want to pivot, but they also don't want to take too much of a haircut, which I can understand because you still got to take care of your fam. Right.
Yeah, for sure.
So what I did was knowing typically kind of what people do that maybe either like high level consultants or architects, I directed them to one of my guys, shout out to Sly Giddens, he'll be joining us soon one day, to reach out to him. Because I said, hey, this guy's background is this, what roles would be good for him? And he immediately gave me like four or five roles that would be good for them, just based off of what they've been doing the last couple of years. So what you need to figure out is, I don't know what you do. I wish you would have said, hey, I do this. So I would probably know kind of how to guide you. Figure out what you do, figure out what type of transferable skills you have, then figure out what skills you need to learn to get in the cloud. But one of the easier things to do, and yeah, I know y'all hear us talk about certifications all the time, but I think there's an exception when it comes to the cloud. I always advise people to, hey, get one of the bare basic AZ-900 cloud practitioner or that entry-level GCP cert and just understand the very different things about the different services and just the fundamentals of the cloud. If you can kind of understand that, then you can start playing around with what you found out in that cert exam. And then you maybe figure out what you want to do. And that's the difference between the cloud certs and the traditional certs. The cloud certs lets you walk through with these labs and actually shows you some things that you possibly could do on a day-to-day versus very high-level summaries of theories and security. I think that's the difference and why I will advocate for people to get entry-level cloud certifications.
So real quick, obviously, HD is the expert on the career part of it. I'll say from a technical standpoint, learn the fundamentals first, right? Networking, storage, and compute. Like learn IT basics, like how computers work. And then from there, I'll say, just like he said, learn the fundamentals of the cloud. And again, you know, backing up what my boy said, cloud is special in that the barrier of entry for hands-on practice is so low right now. Like you can literally get $200-$300 on almost every cloud platform to just play around with. Like off top, they'll give you $200 or $300. So learn the fundamentals of IT, learn specifically networking and storage and security, and then learn the fundamentals of the cloud. Get hands on, start playing with it, set up your first compute instances, set up storage buckets, set up container images, you know, deploy stuff, build stuff, play around. You know, and learn the basics. And then from there, I would say start working on the certification. Like start getting your hands dirty. And then I would say work on the certifications, because, again, as all of y'all know, to me, certifications are just another checkbox on the job description. But those skills are what are going to come in handy.
Bet. But yeah, man, this is going to be the end of the episode. We were kind of all over the place today. It's kind of just was a like kind of like just get it off your chest. Chain snatch flow.
Yeah, man. I've been gone, bro. So we had to catch up. We just
not only that, it's just so much. So this was less about like kind of industry news and more about like the news I think that impacts my listeners more than the industry news. And that's why we want to talk about these things, because these people have been praying on people. Like, y'all talked to people like y'all who've had consultations with these different people or reached out to them, and they haven't given you advice. Like, shout out to this is the last thing, guys. I'll leave you guys with this. The last thing when it comes to trying to pivot, like I said, I'm not the expert in cloud, so I went to my guy who works in the cloud for Microsoft and asked him what my friend should do. Do the same thing for your career if you want to do a certain role in cybersecurity. I recently had a consultation this past week with a person, and this is a crazy thing, guys, and this I'm going to tell you why you don't always have to think about so hard on what you don't have in relation to cybersecurity. She has been in law enforcement, I think, the last 15, 13 years, but she was doing intelligence work. And I said, okay, explain what you do. She told me, and the bell went off. Hey, you should be a cyber threat intel. I say, what you're doing now resonates with that. It's just you'll have to understand some of the other things that threat intelligence does. So you'll be able to hang in the meetings, but that's what you should go to. And I said, I don't think you'd have to go entry level. I said, based on what you've done in real life, where your intel was actually important enough to keep people safe, your experience will be valued. You have another chain of thought. I probably butchered that. Another thought process that the team.
You said that other word real, real good earlier though. So
yeah,
makes up for it.
I made up for it with soliloquy.
That's the one. Couldn't even say it.
With your thought process from law enforcement, you'll be a great addition to that team. And she said, you know what? I've talked to these different people and no one ever brought up cyber threat intelligence. And that's the thing is like, try to just find people that have enough skin in the game that can direct you somewhere to where you could immediately probably find an impact. And that's what I do. I tell people all the time, I'm like a boxing trainer. I come in to fix you and say, hey, you got a good jab. I need you to work that jab. You know what I'm saying? Or if I'm a basketball coach, it's like, man, you know what? Every time you do all this dribbling, they double you and you try to take the shot instead of passing to the corner three. Like, do all that dribbling, pass to the corner three, watch what happens. So it's just small things I could tell you that could really pay off for your game or your career in this case. But that's what I want to leave you guys with. I appreciate y'all for rocking with us today. You know what to do. Hit the like button, thumbs up. If you're listening on any streaming platform, please go ahead and leave us a review. It really helps us out in the rankings, especially on Chartable. And also, you still need help getting a consultation. Hit the link in the description. I got you. hey, you got any last words for him?
Nah, man. Hey, everybody, like I said, I see y'all at B-Size Charm. If you're pulling up, definitely excited to see everybody. Yeah, keep doing the work. Keep grinding it out. And don't lie on your resume.
All right, man. Until next week, we'll see y'all next time. Stay textual, right. And we out.
Peace.